B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, January 15th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports news from Sarah over at the news desk. Plus, we'll officially preview this year's North American LCS. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
While Fortnite was far and away the most profitable game of 2018, they're definitely not firing at all cylinders over at Epic. The Better Business Bureau slapped the company with an F in customer service, the lowest rating possible. The reason cited was 247 unanswered customer complaints on the company's website, which seems kind of low to me.
Yeah, that's what I was just going
to
say.
In comparison to how many people play?
Yeah, when you look at how many people are logging in and playing every day, 247 seems fairly minute.
Yeah, but it's still a matter of the amount of people who complain, you know, compared to how many of those tickets are solved.
So, right, how many people had to complain to get 247 unresolved complaints? That would be my question, because I think it would have to be a lot.
I don't know. I mean, are they complaints directly with the Better Business Bureau?
Complaints filed with the BBB, I think that refers to, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. And, I mean, honestly, it may be some kid taking their parents' credit card and just racking up a whole bunch of charges.
Are these problems even solvable?
Yeah, that's a very valid question.
While trying to get aerial footage of Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, a news chopper caught a glimpse of Mario Kart 8 being played on the Jumbotron at the neighboring Kauffman Stadium. The map's screen was playing host to a Kansas City Royals employee tournament for the Royals Charities, the MLB team's charitable foundation.
This was so cool to see pictures of.
If you saw this footage, literally, they got the chopper flying through. They show just Mario Kart happening on the big screen. And I'm not sure if you could hear the chopper audio. I couldn't on the video.
I couldn't either.
But I thought it was hilarious. And I instantly thought, like, I don't know if I want to play Mario Kart on a screen that big because it seems disorienting.
Right? Like, it really does seem like, you know, like, you know how there are people who rent out movie theaters to be able to play games in, right?
Yeah.
Never understood that.
Yeah.
There's only so big that I need my monitor to
I
be,
would
you know?
Do it for something like The Last of Us, something that's kind of like slow
cinematic.
Yeah.
Okay. I could see that.
Mario Kart?
Yeah.
Nah, it's too bright.
Now, you know, Smash on a screen like that, you might not lose track of your character.
Smash on a screen like that, I can't guarantee that people don't, you know, go into, you know, epileptic episodes.
Following the success of Ruby, Grim Eclipse in 2016, Rooster Teeth has now announced their game division's first original IP, Vicious Circle. The game is billed as a multiplayer FPS set in a gritty sci-fi comic book universe. No more details have been made available, but the game is scheduled to release in late 2019.
So I think this is really cool. I mean, as a lifelong fan, basically, of Rooster Teeth at this point. I was a big fan of Red vs. Blue and Ruby. Grim Eclipse, I only got to see a video of, but it looked cool. I'm curious to see what they can do with their own, like, original IP.
Yeah, it's really awesome to see Rooster Teeth grow from this company that just started doing really genuinely funny pieces of machinima to now
3-minute Halo sketch.
Right.
That's where their beginning is.
Exactly. But I mean, like, they've grown into such a great production house, and they have so many interesting people that work there, and now even to, you know, pivot once again to be able to make games, I think that is incredibly awesome. Congratulations to Rooster Teeth, and nothing but the best to them.
Gearbox CEO Randy Pitchford has been accused of possessing underage pornography amidst an ongoing lawsuit in which he allegedly received a secret $12 million payout from Take-Two.
Whoa.
Wade Callender, former counsel for Gearbox accused Pitchford of leaving a USB stick full of pornography at a Medieval Times restaurant and of hosting peacock parties. Pitchford has vehemently denied the claims, admitting to having the pornography, but that it wasn't underage.
I never want to be in a position where I have to explain that.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, who's just carrying around USBs with anything on them anywhere?
Right.
Third of all, where do you begin to even unpack this story?
So, that's the thing. Like, we have to be so careful because, of course, these are just allegations made against him. There's nothing proven yet.
Right.
But this is a wild story.
Now, these are allegations coming from a lawyer who I am going to go out on a limb and just assume that he's aware that libel and slander laws exist.
Right.
So there's got to be, he's got to have some kind of evidence to back up his claims if he's going to make these wild and audacious allegations.
You'd hope so.
You would hope so, but I mean, I don't know. It's 2019 and up is down and the sky is red. I don't know what's happening.
And that's all before you get into this secret $12 million payment.
What does that say about Take Two now that ends up being
this
real?
This is definitely a story that we'll be following very closely. So as more information comes out, make sure you guys join us on twitch.tv/checkpointXP as it develops.
Activision Blizzard is continuing their corporate restructuring as three more appointments have been made. Former Call of Duty exec Rob Kostich has been named Activision president. Former CFO Houman Saknini has been named president of King Digital. And CFO Dennis Durkin has been named president of Activision Blizzard's emerging businesses.
Well, the one thing when I hear this, and everybody, the alarm bells were going off when people were leaving these positions and getting ousted. But at the same time, these are internal movements.
Yeah, it's Activision roles being filled by Activision people.
Exactly. And I know a lot of people are really worried about what's going on over at Blizzard, but at the same time, I still feel like this is somewhat internal. Activision has had this partnership with Blizzard for a number of years. Let's just wait. Let's see if the product is affected first before we start losing our minds.
I don't care about none of these. This is all within Activision stuff. Just leave Blizzard alone.
Speaking of Activision, another major change rocked the company this week. Bungie officially left Activision, and in doing so, took the Destiny IP with it. Tensions had been high between the two companies since last year when Activision commented that Destiny 2 Forsaken wasn't performing as well as they'd hoped.
And there's now an investigation into Activision over allegations of fraud.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even hear about that.
This is starting to get serious, and I don't know. I mean, I have some concerns about what the next step forward Activision is.
You know what? No, let's go with Norris. We don't know. Fraud might not be a bad thing. Let's all just cool our jets and see how it plays out. See if it affects the product.
That's apples and oranges, Robbie.
This is a wild year. Are we going to actually see the fall of Activision Blizzard this year?
No, we won't.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. We've been keeping an eye on the ongoing litigation between Fortnite's developer, Epic Games, and a growing number of artists who claimed their work was stolen. And now we can add another strange wrinkle to that list.
No. Oh, yeah. So perhaps following in the footsteps of Backpack Kid, the mother of Orange Shirt Kid is now getting in on the action, suing Epic Games.
Who's naming these kids?
I admit, I'm not, huge in the Fortnite community. I had never heard of Orange Shirt Kid. Where are these names coming from?
First of all, number one, he should have had a better name. Orange Shirt Kid is awful.
Backpack Kid should have too, right?
They're all awful.
Those are terrible names.
These are not stage names.
Okay, so which dance belongs to Orange Shirt Kid?
Orange Shirt Kid submitted the random dance to Fortnite's Boogie Down contest, and while he didn't initially win, his dance was eventually used in the game.
Are we entering a future where people are famous for, and they're known as the Orange Shirt Kid or Backpack Kid?
What are you going to be known as, Nate?
I,
Beard Man.
Beard Kid.
No, we're all going to have Mega Man villain names. He's going to be Beard Man, Normal Man,
Normal Man's already a thing.
Hair Person.
Person.
Really quick, though, back to the topic. In the case of this, if he submitted it to for a contest, there's got to be some language somewhere there that even if you're not selected to win, you submitted that to us. It's ours.
It's worth noting the contest rules state that, quote, as a condition of entry, participants grant Epic a non-exclusive, perpetual, irrevocable, worldwide, transferable, sub-licensable, and royalty-free license to use, modify, reproduce, prepare derivative works of, distribute, perform, and display the submission in any and all media throughout the world and for whatever purpose sponsored
that
deems.
Is legalese for we own it.
Yeah, exactly. And they found a lawyer that was actually willing to represent them.
Here's the only thing that I can even possibly say is in a court of law, if you can show that your contract is ridiculously one-sided and unfair, even though you signed it, a judge can still overrule it, saying it's not an equitable contract in any way.
I don't know that that's ever been applied to contest rulings, though.
I don't know that it has either, and I also don't know because the dance was given away as one of the free battle passes. It's not like they're making money hand over fist on that particular dance. Hmm. That one was one of the ones that you could unlock for free by doing, I think it was the season 4 battle pass. So I just don't know where there's any legal ground to stand on here.
Well, and imagine if the judge were to rule over it, how much precedent are you sending or setting for any other contest at any point in forever?
If you think the dogpiling is insane already.
Yeah, like, this is just evidence of further dogpiling, and I think it's only going to get worse for Epic.
I agree.
And unfortunately, they have to go to court to meet all of these different claims.
Who cares? They got all the money in the world.
I mean, that's true, but you know, if it's siphoned away through having to defend yourself in court, do you have all the money in the world? Listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll take a look ahead at this season's NALCS. That discussion is ahead in about 15 minutes on Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll check in with Sarah over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
We're finally getting some news with Japan and esports.
Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll take a look ahead to this year's North American LCS and see what to expect from League of Legends in 2019. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get an esports gaming update.
With Sarah Skopic.
As we've predicted on this show, the landscape of esports in Japan would be changing rapidly. The Japanese government has revealed that they've allocated 50 million yen, which is around half a million U.S. dollars, for a two-day esports event in 2019. There has been no announcement about which games would be played, however.
It would be a fighting game.
Well, I mean, that's one of
I would expect that, you know. I don't know. I think that this is definitely really interesting. Is this the first time that a government has put up a prize pool?
I think,
that's a good question.
We had a story about New Jersey doing it. That'd be a state legislature putting up a thing, but not a national government, as far as I know.
And I mean, nothing near $500,000. So,
I think the $500,000 is also to like put on the event.
That's the whole budget, not just the prize. That's the budget for them.
But I mean, like, that's
still likely to be at least $100,000.
Exactly. That's a huge investment, and I'm really excited to see what ends up coming from this. And I don't know, like, how do you feel about a government agency being involved with esports?
See, that's the part that I think is really sort of weird and is a slippery slope, because I would much prefer to be a sponsorship type situation, but I understand that in Japan that really can't happen.
Right. Now. Well, I mean, could this legitimize the push towards getting it into the Olympics? I mean, this is something...
This has to have happened before, because I know KESPA has put up prize pools before.
Oh, you know what? That's a good point.
They have to have. But
that's a good point.
If the Japanese government is going to take the KESPA model for doing their esports events, that's a great sign for esports in Japan.
Absolutely, because that's a very effective model. So,
absolutely.
I mean, we'll see. I think that this does lead some credence, though, to more international mainstream acceptance and a bigger push for something like the Olympics.
I was about to say, for in the Olympics, if Japan and Korea and other countries are looking like, man, we really want some medals, and we want to beat the U.S. and China, especially in those summer games, esports might be a good avenue.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the largest and most recognizable esports brands, Team Solomid, has finally entered the world of Rocket League. They've signed the entirety of the unaffiliate team, WeDim Girls. The three-man team placed third at RLCS and won the 2018 E-League Cup.
And one of our friends of the show, Metsonaris, is part of that team.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Which is kind of... Was that a carry-on a little bit from Girls that we saw?
I would not be surprised.
Universal Open?
I think they're different, actually.
Really?
They're different.
Yeah. Okay. Totally different team.
Okay. Although they also had a clearly NSP made at the last minute logo.
I think that they probably created their name from that.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations to them. Congratulations to WeDim Girls. That's awesome.
And good to see TSM getting involved with Rocket League.
Yeah.
Last week, we reported on this show that 12 pros were banned for using a radar hack in PUBG. Well, that same investigation has now banned over 30,000 accounts worldwide in the game. Moving forward, PUBG says they will be doing background checks on all accounts for players entering official competitions.
Now, what's really unique about this particular cheat is it's actually been in the game for a while. It's something that actually pinged the information server side, so it was really difficult for PUBG to really get a handle on it. So this is now something that you know, has been in the game for a minute. It's been removed. I'd be interested to see how this ends up sort of affecting stuff going forward.
Yeah, I don't think that if Robbie, if we logged into PUBG tonight and played,
you will notice
we
no
wouldn't
difference.
Feel even a no lick of this.
No. Really, you're not saying even if I log in, I'm not suddenly going to be in top elo?
Nope. I don't think so, man.
That's not happening.
Don't think so.
Okay.
In a shock move, an LCK League of Legends team gave their players an almost unprecedented reward. Following a strong closing of the 2018 season and a dominant win at the KESPA Cup, the LCK team Griffin has extended their entire team by 3 years.
Wallet.
In a space dominated by 1 or 2 year contracts, a 3 year guarantee is nearly unheard of.
Yeah,
secure the bag, team Griffin.
Well, I mean, okay, sure, they're now guaranteed to get paid for the next 3 years, but depending on how well they do this year or next year, are they going to have much say in whether or not they should be making maybe more next year more in their third year?
You can always renegotiate.
Yeah, absolutely.
To an extent.
But, I mean, I think that this is a really interesting move and a shift that we could see start to happen more commonly in esports, is to see longer-term contracts.
Well, this is Griffin saying, you know what, while we are a decent LPL or LCK team, we're not one of the biggest, and if our players end up being as good as it looks like they might be, we don't want them getting poached by SKT doing a rebuild or by another region trying to get our talent. So yeah, let's bite the bullet, give the 3 year contract, and this is going to be, I think, the beginning of us seeing a little bit more longevity in esports contracts. When smaller teams that have players that they think might be great, you want to protect that investment, because if you're not a big team, you could lose them.
And League is where we'll see it happening a lot first, because League has showed the most staying power out of almost any esport. So 3 years, League will probably still be around and still be strong, and these teams will start to do that kind of stuff as new talent emerges.
Yeah, and I'm really hoping that this is a bigger shift and a bigger trend that happens across more games and more esports, because this is some of the same factors that go into contract negotiations in traditional sports, and I think that's a very good model to mimic.
Dell's gaming brand Alienware has now been made the official PC and display partner of Riot Games. Alienware will be represented in the North American LCS and LEC, as well as the mid-season Invitational, Worlds, and in the NA versus EU Rift Rivals tournament. The partnership will begin officially with the kickoff of LEC play on January 18th and LCS play on January 26th.
This is really cool. Yeah. I never understood why equipment was never like completely standardized for most esports. It's good to see that's becoming a thing now. So, yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that playing across a standardized set of equipment is going to be really important.
Yes,
so,
definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
No one would argue that Riot's esports platform, LOL Esports, was in desperate need of an update. However, the new platform has failed to include professional match history. This has put many content creators who cover League's esports scene in a difficult spot as they rely on those statistics. Q&A at Riot has said they will be reintroducing match history onto the new platform as soon as they figure out the best way of doing so.
Get it together, Riot.
So it used to have it, and they decided, hey, let's take this out?
Because they mixed it in with LOL Nexus, which is very popular. But they didn't have the proper back end to be able to do the match history. They have said that they're going to reinstate that as soon as possible. So,
Psyonix broke major news this week as they unveiled that Rocket League would become just the second title to truly go cross-platform.
Yes!
Players will now be able to compete on PC, Xbox, PS4, and Switch against one another.
I literally went out and got Rocket League because of that.
And have you been playing it cross-platform?
My brother's on Xbox One. I'm on my Switch. We played together. It was great. We had a blast. Latency was no issue. It was literally amazing. I can't wait to play more of this game.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. Last year, Ninja was the undisputed king of Twitch with almost 250,000 subscribers. But this week, that reign has come to an end as longtime Counter-Strike player Summit1G took the lead.
I do not believe!
Thank you, because like so many, we all went, wait, Summit1G, the Counter-Strike player?
Yeah. That's Summit1G?
Is there another Summit1G? I mean, I know he's popular. He's been popular for a long time.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
I didn't know he was 42,000 Twitch subscribers.
Yeah, I expected like Shroud or somebody like that to overtake him.
Yeah, no, but here's I think that there's actually an important lesson here, because Summit1G is someone who has been doing this for a very long time and has longevity. So the majority of the people that are going to be subbed to his channel, I think that that's a much more longer term commitment than Ninja, as someone who got really hot as you know, an attachment to Fortnite.
Right. It's worth noting that at his peak, Ninja had like almost 250,000 subscribers, 250,000. Right. Well, he's now been surpassed by Summit1G, who only has 42,000, which means that his subs have fallen by what, 80%?
Wow, that's a lot. Yeah.
So you know what that is? That was a lot of kids who probably got some extra cash over the holiday season, subbed, got him real hot, and then all of a sudden those subs falling off precipitously.
Well, he was
in
also
the new year.
I mean, this, I think his peak was in like March, something like that, when he did the stream with Drake.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Right,
so it was around that time. I'm wondering how many of those were one time subs that maybe came at the benefit of having Drake with you.
Absolutely.
Well,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure it also mentions too that Ninja obviously has way more followers, and Drake's retention of subs to his follower ratio is a lot higher, which I think also says a lot more. Or Drake, Summit1G, which I think also says a lot more about Summit as a performer and keeping people engaged.
Yes, well, absolutely.
Not just that. I mean, we've talked about what happens when Fortnite begins to lose steam, because it will.
Yeah.
The thing that's keeping a lot of these games in the forefront is their esports scenes, and Fortnite kind of has a trash esports scene.
How many people were subbed to Ninja because he's Ninja, and how many people were subbed to him because he was the best Fortnite
guy? Yeah.
That's a fair point.
And now that Fortnite's not the most popular thing, like Summit1G's been around for so long, he's been able to pivot to other things.
I think he played in Counter-Strike before it was Counter-Strike Go, right? Didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. And again, Robbie bringing up a great point with the retention. But listen, we want to hear from you. Are you a Twitch streamer? Do you think that this is a big deal? Is this evidence of Fortnite starting to fall out of favor? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Ahead next on Checkpoint XP. XP Daily, January 26 marks the start of the North American LCS. With professional League of Legends finally returning, we'll take a look ahead to the season to come. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Radio 1300 AM in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Fox Sports 910 AM in Richmond, Virginia. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got tons of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes. Three if you want to fudge it and count Uncle Bubs in there as well. Make sure you pick all those up over at our Twitch page at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. The 2019 North American LCS Spring Split is scheduled to get underway later this month. With action set to get underway on the 26th, we thought it would be a good idea to take a look at what to expect this year.
And guys, we have so much to get through and so little time right here, so we're just going to start right off with this. Puma has partnered with Cloud9's LCS team for the upcoming season. It is, right? They're going to be doing a set of esports sneakers for Cloud9.
I'd buy those.
Copped. First day cop.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, this is just a one-split partnership for now. They're basically testing the waters with esports. They've signed on for the 2019 spring split.
It's going to work.
If it works, we can see an extended partnership.
Listen, it's been a long time since I feel like Pumas were relevant.
No,
so this is going to be good for them.
Excuse me, sir. You do not watch soccer. They're huge in that space.
You're right. I don't watch footy.
Or track. But yeah, this is huge. I'll buy them. You got to understand there's a lot of overlap between Hypebeast and esports.
That's true.
So there's a lot of sneakerheads in that space. This may pop off.
Yeah. And have we seen the actual design for these yet?
Has there been an actual design release? I'm intrigued.
That's going to be the make or break for me, is what they end up looking like.
In addition, the LPL region, while we're all waiting for the LCS region and the LEC later to get started, the LPL region, China's region, has begun, and they got off to a wild start as Kane got picked in the first game of the split and dominated.
Okay.
And I'm terrified.
I need to, because I don't know who Kane is.
You need context.
Explain this to me.
Here you go. Off meta character pick dominates in first day of LPL. That's all you need to know.
He's a jungler who's a split personality. You can build him one of two ways, and he actually will transform into that version once you pass a certain threshold.
He can pass the wall.
Is this just a one-off because it's early on in the season? Everyone's kind of dusting off the dusting off the skills and everything.
I don't know if it's the same level as the Panda winning in Tekken.
It's not far off.
Really? I won't say it's that level because that's a world championship.
That was a tournament. Right. In the final.
But Kane is a bronze stomper champion.
Exactly.
He beats up on newbies. It's weird seeing him picked in any kind of competitive play.
So it's like Symmetra Torbjorn.
Yeah.
Working out.
It's kind of trash.
Okay.
We'll see if this is going to be a one-off, like you say. And China's region can be weird sometimes. It's hard to say, but we'll see whether it ends up being a one-off. We also had Faker. He accidentally locked in Nunu the other day in mid lane, which is an awful pick. So he decided he was going to dodge Q because he doesn't want to just take that loss. Instead, he'll take the 30-minute lockout. But rather than waste that time, he decided to 1v1 against his audience.
Oh, no.
He invited people to come in and 1v1 against him.
How'd that go?
It went bad for everyone who tried. In fact, he invited eight people in, and they were all sitting on the sidelines and watching. And after he took out his opponent, they all dove him and tried to get him, and none of them were able to get him.
Wow.
Accepted.
Wow. Yeah. I'm impressed by that.
In addition, CLG has unveiled their new uniforms. But you've probably already seen them before because
they're Cloud9.
Cloud9 Junior.
I saw the pictures of this yesterday. Why did they think that this was going
to
work?
To be ashamed of themselves, bro.
It is literally the same color palette as Cloud9.
Guys, I've been saying this now for 2 years. It's really hard to be a fan of CLG.
All they would have had to do was throw something else crazy on there, do a little stripe across the middle or something. They could have did anything.
Just stick with the blue and the black.
Yeah, what was wrong with that?
Well, I mean, Cloud9's got blue and black alternates in many esports. So.
I guess, but even that I would have accepted. Your main colors can be someone else's alternate. Well, that doesn't true. Bother me, that's but you true. Can't steal their main colors.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on The Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as The Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. We're currently taking a look ahead to the North American LCS season. This is going to be a interesting season for League. Anxiously awaiting it coming back.
Oh my gosh, yes.
What's the official date that it comes back?
January 26th.
Wow.
Is the official return date. Now,
and do they have a preseason or no?
No.
So it's just season, first day
usually,
of the season.
Yeah, it usually just gets underway.
Okay.
You know what? Don't quote me on that, but I don't remember a preseason.
Okay.
So there's going to be a new rule that's going to prevent what happened to Adrian, Altec, and Phoenix last year. For those who don't remember, Echo Fox released those three players just a couple days before the roster lockout, which meant that they had no time to find a new team because the roster's all locked in.
Oh.
The Players Association for League of Legends, by the way, did you know that League of Legends has a Players Association?
I didn't.
They do.
Well,
they passed a new rule that says any players that are cut within 48 hours of the deadline are going to be given an additional 3 days to find a new team.
And this is a perfect example as to why Players Associations are not just important, but necessary.
Absolutely.
Imagine being an NALCS quality player and having to spend an entire year on the sidelines because your team decided to do something funny and cut you a couple days beforehand. I think this is excellent, and I think this is exactly why we need these types of organizations.
Now, I have a question that I'm sure at least some of our audience is asking. Okay. I almost hate to ask this, but is the scuttlebutt that they cut them so close to the deadline on purpose to try to screw them out of a season?
No, I don't think anyone believed that Echo Fox was purposefully trying to screw over any of their players. It was just the roster
that's
lockout was coming out, and we need to make a move.
That happens. So it's good to see that, you know, first of all, that there is a Players Association, and that the Players Association is being active in this case, because this really does seem like a very necessary instance for them to step in and make a new rule.
Yep.
And this rule seems
is unionized.
And this rule seems fair.
It does seem fair. Another thing I want to hit on real quick, obviously, January 26th, we have the start of the spring split. That's going to be running through the end of March, I believe it is. And then we're going to go into the midseason invitational after that. Mm-hmm. The best teams from around the world, basically the winners of the spring split, are going to be invited to compete in that event. That'll be followed up by the summer split, which will take us into late August. And then after that, we are on the road to Worlds. Once again, it's going to be a month-long tournament, as it always is. This year, touring across Europe and culminating in Paris.
Please send us.
What would you give to be at the finals in Paris?
First of all, I would, man.
Might not even show up to the final.
Norris doesn't be there.
Norris doesn't even need a valid excuse to show up in Paris randomly.
That's true. That's
so
also true.
I would imagine that he would jump at any opportunity to go out there in an official capacity. That is exciting, though. And it's nice that it's not going to be at like 3 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning to watch
it's
some
so
of these matches.
It's so hard to report on that.
Oh,
it is.
The
last couple years have been brutal.
Oh, it is.
We also got some preseason rankings courtesy of
where
Esports
my boys
Bet,
at, which are right. Completely
this is yeah
these ones, no these are better than the ones we saw the other day.
Are they?
They don't have CLG at number 2.
Okay, yeah, you're
I'll
right.
give you that. All right,
maybe they meant Cloud9.
Maybe
it's hard to tell them apart. They got a little confused.
They do look similar.
It's hard to tell the difference.
That's funny. All right. So working our way backwards, number 10, they have Echo Fox dead last this year, which is weird. Echo Fox had a good year last year.
I wouldn't put them there, but
I don't feel like they got that much worse in the offseason. Number 9 is Optic Gaming. I'm not horribly against that.
Okay.
Number 8 is FlyQuest.
That seems right.
Number 7 is Counter Logic Gaming, which I think
that
is being generous to them. I think they got worse after last year. They were awful last year.
I think they should be in 9th.
I agree. Number 6 is going to be Clutch Gaming, which is fine. They had
a good
season for being a non-endemic. Number 5 is Golden Guardians.
I am very confused.
The road?
I don't understand this. They had a rough season last
year. They had an abysmal season last year. They did get better in the offseason.
Did they
get number 5 better? I don't know about that.
They haven't made any like switches or anything.
No, they made switches. They brought in some players from LCK too. Like they had a decent offseason. I'm not saying they didn't get better. I'm just saying I don't know that they got that much better. Number four is going to be 100 Thieves.
That's about where they kind of
they finished third last year.
Yeah. That seems about right. Yeah.
Number three, Team Solo Mid, up from their I believe fifth or sixth place finish last year. Mm-hmm. Number two, Cloud9. No one's too surprised there. And number one, they only got better in my opinion. Team Liquid.
Yeah, I think that top four is pretty solid. Actually, in my top 10, have 100 Thieves and TSM Switch.
And here's why I like this listing, because you're like, the top four is pretty solid. And to be honest, 5 through 10, no one knows.
No one knows.
You don't actually know the difference. Esports bets, I don't care if it's ESPN or us, we don't know.
No.
It's all a mishmash after that. You don't know who's going to be good coming off last season.
I will just say, I firmly believe that Team Liquid and Cloud9 are that much better.
Oh, yeah.
They never were.
Oh, I completely agree.
No. Yeah, the top four placement seems very, very solid. But there's one question that I have here, and that is, you know, unlike OWL, who's adding new teams onto their roster this year, there are no new teams in this new season of
the same 10.
NALCS. Do you think that that's a good or a bad thing?
So here's the thing. With OWL being a very new esport, and also being the first to really take that regional approach,
sure,
I think it makes all the sense in the world for them to expand and bring in new cities. League of Legends doesn't have that whole regional thing. You don't have teams based out of cities, really. I mean, they kind of went with that idea, but really not.
But their regional system is far more robust. So, you know, in like European region, you have...
We now have the LEC being franchised out.
Exactly. Whereas in OWL, you only have a smattering of two or three teams even this season.
But the bigger question is, if they went to that model and expanded, who would they add? We already talk about the gap between the top and the bottom in esports.
That's a very good
point.
Does
that do more to just further dilute the product?
I think overall, I'm happy that LCS chose not to expand. I just think when you don't have the city tied to the front of it, it really doesn't matter that much. All we want to know is if we can beat LCK.
Now, that's a very good point. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Are you excited for the return of Professional League of Legends? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Make sure you tune in tomorrow when we ask our social media followers what the next release they're excited for is. And join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.